Earlier this week, Bishop had forwarded me an email. In the email, he said, we'll talk more about this. We haven't talked about it. But when I got the email and I read it, I began immediately to talk to the Lord about it. I began to allow the Lord to talk to me about it and how it applies to my personal life. And the gist of the email was personal evangelism. In case you're wondering, I don't want to leave you on a cliffhanger here. It wasn't something deep. It's personal evangelism. It was my involvement in the kingdom. Everybody say my involvement. Say that again, my involvement. Because each of us have a involvement of some level. And so as I begin to let the Lord talk to me about my level of involvement in the kingdom and what I'm supposed to do, I come to a realization in that we sometimes set the bar too high for ourselves. We set the expectation too high. I'm talking about me. We set the expectation super high. And we produce a list of qualifications of things that I must achieve or things that I must measure up to before I can fulfill my role in the kingdom of God with regard to personal evangelism. And I'll admit to you today that as a congregational leader, as somebody who's involved with many others, as you saw, there were all the men who sat here on the executive council last week. I'm one of many who are involved in the leadership and the moving forward of Life Church as a whole. I admit to you as part of that I, at times, in looking at personal evangelism, especially in relationship to life groups, a small group ministry, that we look to individuals as leaders, someone who's going to lead a life group. And we create a list of qualifications for ourselves, for you, as though, okay, are they willing, number one? Do they have the ability, number two? And we go through these list of qualifications, and yes, yes, and then we maybe put out a request, an announcement. Anybody here, if you're willing to host a life group, come see Brother Heiner. But the realization that I've come to, and I've let the Lord talk to me about more and more over the past 5 days, is the fact that there, when it comes to me having involvement in personal evangelism, the list of qualifications is pretty minimal. There's not a list of qualifications for me to put on a pot of coffee and invite a neighbor into my house to sit down and have some discussion. Is there anybody here, by the raise of hands, who feels like you're qualified to roast a pot of coffee? Raise your hand. You can roast a pot. I mean, you can even go to, if you don't even feel like you're high tech, you could go to Safeway and buy a bag of pre-ground Folgers if you had to. And a little baggie of paper filters, and you could fill it up and put some water in. I mean, it's cheap. You're probably talking about pennies on the dollar to entertain a couple of neighbors with a cup of coffee. If you're Sister Melick, you put on a pot of hot water and you invite them over for tea. The list of qualifications for the beginning of personal evangelism is so minimal. You say, well, I'm not really into having people at my house. Okay. Starbucks has got a $1.99 cup of coffee. The cream's free. If you have the ability to make some baked goods, to bake some cupcakes, to maybe bake a cake and invite a friend over for just, hey, come enjoy some dessert. You know, we recently moved into a new neighborhood. We've been there almost a year. And boy, when we first moved into there, there's nothing more awkward if you've moved recently. There's nothing more awkward than moving into a new neighborhood. You know, people don't look at you, they don't wave at you. But there's one guy next door, and I've kind of figured out that he's the neighborhood gossip, or the neighborhood mailman, to put it in politically correct terms. Because anything I've said to him, about me has gotten back to me through other neighbors who I've never spoke to. So I know that Mr. Mike knows everybody in the neighborhood. And Mr. Mike loves to talk. And Mr. Mike sees me get out of my truck and he comes over and you know, he's got to catch up on what are you doing? Where he's retired. He doesn't, time is just not, his car's in his house all day long. He has nothing to do. So if I come home, he sees me, he runs over no matter how big a hurry I'm in, wants to talk, wants to chat, wants to enter into conversation. Mike, I got to go. I just got home from prayer. I got to go in the shower, get dressed, get on the road. I got to get to Seattle. And Mr. Mike wants to talk. But everything that I say to Mr. Mike seems to disseminate out through all the neighbors around us. And so, you know, this is real deep personal evangelism stuff here, okay? We found out by way of introduction, I mean by the way he introduced himself to us, that the Homeowners Association president lives across the street from us. He made sure I knew that when I officially met him. Well, one day, about a month ago, I was out. We had brought a bunch of fruit home from the farm. Some of you enjoyed some of that, those peaches that were around here. And I was cleaning out bad ones and putting them in my lawn recycle bin, you know, just cleaning them out, getting them out of there. And of course, you know, now Mr. Mike comes over. What do you got? What are you doing? Well, I got peaches. Oh, you got peaches? Yeah, here, try one. Well, word got out to Mr. Homeowners Association president across the street. Nick's got peaches, and they're really good. So I get flagged down on the road the next time I leave. Hey, how do I get some of those peaches? I said, well, I just gave them all away, but I may have one or two more. I think we'd committed them to somebody here. We'd committed them. If your box was short, that's because it's personal evangelism. So I gave them, I ran over, I mean, I dropped what I was doing. These people haven't talked to me in 9 months. And now they want my peaches. I've got an open door of possibility here. So I took some peaches out of one of your boxes, whoever they were for, God bless you. And I went over and I knocked on his front door and I said, hey, I found two peaches. I found the two biggest that were in your box, whoever you are. If we're doing it for the kingdom, we're going to go big. And I gave him the two biggest peaches and his eyes were just, where did you get those? The next time he saw me leave, he flagged me down. He said, hey, if you got any more of those. So I was at the farm a couple weeks ago. I went out and I spent 30 minutes picking my neighbor's personal boxes of peaches. Now, some of them were way overripe. Some weren't very ripe. They weren't the best, but I had an open door of opportunity to go knock on somebody's front door and say, hey, you know what? I was at the farm this weekend and I saw there were still peaches hanging on the peach tree, and so I just wanted to bring them over to you. Did I preach to them Acts 2:38? No, I didn't. Did I get into a theological discussion and debate with him? No, I didn't. But I was participating in personal evangelism. This guy that lives across the street, he's got about three different projects going within three houses of me. He's now the neighborhood projects guy. He's putting in a sprinkler system for the man on the corner and redoing his lawn. He's replacing the fence between me and Mr. Mike's house because Mr. Mike's dog knocked it down. And he's got something else going on. Oh, in his own, he's got his own backyard, side yard deal going on between him and the neighbor. And so I see him out now on the street. Never didn't see him all summer. I see him out on the street now. And so now if I'm outside, I got a few extra minutes. If he's working, I go walk over there. How you doing? How's this project going? Oh, it's going good. We've gone from not speaking to people in our neighborhood. Over a couple of peaches, my wife said to me the other day, we have a joke between us now, your new best friend. Because now he stops my wife and wants to talk to my wife about things him and I have talked about. I came outside just 2 minutes the other day. He made a beeline out of his front door to me at the end of my truck and said, I need your phone number. There's a guy at my job who wants to talk about cows. And I told him, you're the guy to talk to about cows. Over two peaches. We get so caught up in, well, I haven't memorized a lot of scripture in the last 6 months, and I don't know if I can recite the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23. What do you have in your possession? Do you have a coffee pot? Brew a cup of coffee for somebody. Do you have some extra fruit? Did anybody here have a box garden this year that's got a, you got some eggs? You got some extra eggs? Use them as an opportunity. It's personal evangelism. Go knock on somebody's front door. You know, when we lived on 34th Street, I became known as the cherry apple peach guy. In fact, one of the neighbors showed me that in his phone, he had saved my number as the peach guy. It was simply what I had in my possession. I told my wife this morning on the way to church, I said, you know what? I hate knocking on doors. I did it for years as a kid. Every Saturday, I went on Saturday morning outreach. I got doors slammed in my face. Dogs chased me. Cats tried to scratch me. People cussed at me, yelled at me, all in the name of Jesus. But you know, when you knock on somebody's door with a box of fresh peaches, hello! I love making peach cobblers. That's my favorite. Well, here you go. You have the qualification. You have the ability. Have I invited any of those people to this building yet? Nope. Let me share another story with you. This, you want to talk about the Lord and how he places us in situations? When 2017 started, we weren't planning on living in Ording at 111 Weaver Street Northeast, okay? We had no intentions on it. That was not a part of the plan. But we decided to move on to 111 Weaver Street Northeast about the time that things fell apart and we entered into a lawsuit. And my wife was saying to me, are we supposed to leave? Are we not supposed to be here right now? I said, no. I got peace about this place that we're moving into. I got peace about it. About 4 months went by, 4 or 5 months went by, and earlier this summer I was out messing around the yard, keeping the yard clean. That's another way. I'm going to meddle here for a minute. It doesn't hurt to go out and work in your front yard. Neighbors walk by and, oh, man, how do you do this? Just start conversations. So the neighbor across the street, straight across the street from us, they were very quiet people, and they had waved and smiled every now and then. We got ready to go for harvest, leave for harvest, and I had been watering my lawn and got it green. My wife had planted some beautiful flowers, and I knew that was when it was 100 degrees outside, and I knew that the 1 week we were going to be at harvest, everything was going to come back and be brown. And so I walked across the street because they were the ones that had been the kindest to us. They had at least got a little wave up. Everybody else just looked the other way when I drove by. So I went over, and I knocked on the front door. And I said, could I pay you $20 to water my lawn? The sprinkler's going to be out there. There's the spigot right on the front. Just twist it. She said, oh, yeah, I watch you do it every day. I'll take care of it. And I don't need $20. I said, I'll bring you back a box of cherries. So I brought them back a box of cherries. And they were cold. A couple weeks later, I'm out in the front yard getting ready to leave for somewhere, and they come out and start talking. Now, we're in a hurry. Something's about to close. I'm trying to get the kids locked in the car seats, and she walked across the street. She wanted to talk. I didn't have time for it, but I engaged. And 20 minutes later, my wife comes out of the house. She's dressed. She's ready. She thinks the kids are in the car, and that I've been out there. The kids are up and down the street. The store closes in 15 minutes and we're 20 minutes away. And she's like, what have you been doing? I found out that these people who live across the street from me in Ording spent the last 35 years of their life 5 miles down the road from where Kaylee and I lived when we got married. 5 miles. We entered into a discussion about how 3 years ago they got moved up here by U-Haul. He worked for U-Haul. They were moved up here. They left a wonderful church, people that they loved, a pastor that they loved, and they moved up here. And he said, the month after you guys moved in, he said, U-Haul walked in and handed me papers and said, we don't need you anymore. He said, our whole world fell apart. He said, we had no idea what we're, our whole family lives in Junction City, Oregon. And here we are now in this place called Ording, Washington, with no job, no family, nothing. And I said, what did you do? He said, the only thing we knew how to do, and we prayed. And I began to, it opened a door, and while my kids are running up and down the street, my wife thinks I'm in the car ready to go to the store. I began to tell them about when God brought us to Washington and how I didn't have a job for 2 months, couldn't find a job, couldn't buy a job. And then one day God opened a door for me at an electrical company. And I began to share how we prayed and God provided and all the means that he brought about for us and how he was our provider. I began to talk about all these things, and I don't think I shared a single scripture with them. I was just testifying. I was just sharing about the goodness of God and how God had made a way for us. And the whole time, you know, she's wiping tears out of her eyes, and my wife's behind me going, we gotta go, we gotta go. So that's the neighbor across the street. Right after we moved in, the neighbor that's catty corner across the street, his neighbor, put their house on the market and decided they're moving to Texas. House sold the first weekend. Some folks moved in. Guess where they're from? Junction City, Oregon. And so the neighbor that lives in between them, who's a homeowner association president, who's now, according to my wife, my new best friend, comes walking over and he goes, can you believe this? You're from Junction City. They're from Junction. He's. What is going on? We're not at the place yet. But I wanted to say, well, it sounds like the Lord's orchestrating something. We got a little triangle going on here. And you're surrounded. Do you understand how qualified you are to participate in personal evangelism? Now, none of those folks have graced these doors or sat in these chairs yet. But God is at work in my neighborhood. I believe that. When we were at the Tolberts for that youth function that went on, and I saw their neighbors pouring into their backyard and participating and all that, God is at work in Northwest Puyallup. He's at work in that region. Have we seen him in this building yet? No, but God is at work. And there was a powerful Bible study that night put on by them. No, they just cooked some taquitos and some chili cheese Fritos and started a fire. And their neighbors started pouring into the backyard. That's really deep theological personal evangelism. They also invited a few of their friends over and said, hey, come help us evangelize our neighborhood. If you're afraid of doing it alone, you're like, man, I don't want to be stuck in a house. Invite some friends over. And then tell your neighbors, hey, we're going to have a little party in our backyard. Why don't you come over? Come eat some hot dogs with us. Let's have a fall party. We've got to get rid of these ideas, these checklists in our mind of whether we're qualified or unqualified. We've got to take all the limits off and realize that God saved us for a purpose. If we could stand here the rest of the afternoon and pass the microphone around and you could tell us of your testimonies of how God's made a way for you, the stories of the things that God's done for you and that he's brought you through and that you're still standing here today. I look at your testimony and your testimony and your testimony. We could go right around the room. That's what he's given you to evangelize your world with. Do you realize how hurting people are? Do you realize how distraught people are? Do you realize how alone in the world people feel they are? The neighbors who lived across the street from me, their world fell apart, and they couldn't imagine that anyone had ever gone through anything like they had. Only to find out that God put somebody right across the street from them who knew exactly what they had gone through and was able to relate to them and tell them, I'm going to pray for you guys. Who lives across the street from you? Who's next door to you? Do you know him? Do you know him by name? Have you met him yet? If you haven't, let the Holy Ghost lead you. You know, we were the third or fourth house on 34th Street in that neighborhood. That neighborhood blew up after we moved in there. And so we got to watch everybody move in. And there was a guy that lived across the street from us who I still have contact with. And he liked to sit back. You know, I was raised in the country on that dead-end gravel road I've told you about. You waved at everybody because you knew everybody. That was our street. That was our road. It was a five-mile stretch of gravel. Somebody came by, you just waved at them. At the farm, when you're out there in the front yard, somebody, you wave at them. Everybody waves. It's the country. And so on 34th Street, as people started moving in, I started recognizing cars. Oh, yeah, there are four houses up. You know, they come by. I'm out on the street. I wave, you know. I'm the friendly guy. Welcome to the neighborhood. They come walking by. I'd say hello. Well, every now and then, this neighbor would come over, and he'd start talking, you know, want to talk about sports, want to talk about the neighborhood, want to talk about the homeowners association, want to talk about lawns and who's mowing, who's not, who's pulling weeds, who's not, you know, real deep theological conversations. And people walk by, and I'd say, hey, how are you today? Of course, he's you talk to everybody? Somebody'd go by, and I'd wave, and he'd just, you wave at everybody? That's the mentality of our world. I was at his house a couple weeks ago. I was in the neighborhood. So I thought I'd stop by. I'm just going to drive by his house and see if he's out front. I haven't seen him in a long time, so I drive by. Garage door's open. He's in the garage. So I pulled over, rolled the window down, and started hollering. What are you doing? He came out. Oh, man, my boat's broken. So I got out of my truck and started talking about his boat. The guy who lives next door, who's not the same guy who lived there when I was there, come over. And I get a text on my phone while we're standing there talking, and I pull my phone out, and he goes, please introduce yourself to my neighbor. I'm not sure of his name. This is the world we live in. People don't know each other. This guy had a sledgehammer beating on the tongue of his boat, and he didn't even know his name. Do you realize the opportunity we have in front of us? Be the light. Be the light in your neighborhood. When we prayed last week over all of us who are involved in the city of Seattle, the Lord was convicting me heavily. Because sometimes I question, why in the world am I in downtown Seattle? Why have you placed me here? And why do I have to? Because He's the source, and he can source just as much income on South here or downtown Puyallup as he could downtown Seattle. He's God. I don't have to commute there for the money. That's where he's put me. Why do you put me here? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So I'm going to ask you, how brightly is your light shining? I'm not talking about how holy are you. I'm talking about how much you pray. I don't need to send all of you away today with prayer mats that at 5 a.m. every day and 12 p.m. every day, and that you get your prayer mat out and lay down on the floor and do as other religions do and face the east. No, I'm just saying be a light. Be friendly. On Monday morning when everyone else is a grump, be friendly. On Friday afternoon when it's not payday Friday and everybody's bummed out, be friendly. Be a light. Be that person in your neighborhood who waves. The Holy Ghost is at work in the earth. And you and I have a strategic part to play. And it's so easy. So easy. I'm not saying today that every single neighbor from every single one of your neighborhoods is going to attend this church. I'm not saying that. But could maybe one or two from your neighborhood attend a Bible study? I was, last story, I promise. We're almost finished. had a coworker of mine who recently went through some struggles, and he ended up going to treatment. And I was talking to him after he got out of treatment. And was just, hey, I'm praying for you. I hope everything's good. I'm glad that your life's back on straight now. He says, you know what? He said, I don't really miss the drinking. He says, you know what I miss? He said, in my little neighborhood in Kirkland that I live in, he said, we had a little red radio flyer wagon. He said, every night during the summer and fall, one of us was responsible. We had that wagon at our house, and we were responsible for filling it full of firewood and dragging it to somebody else's driveway, and we would start a fire in that. We'd have a little fire, and we'd just stand around that fire and talk about the day, and we'd drink. He said, I don't miss the alcohol. I miss being able to be in that group of people that stands out in the driveway and just talks about their day. I stopped and thought about that when I walked away from his desk, and I thought, basically what you're saying is you want somebody to come out of their house and talk to you. He missed the community. He missed the camaraderie, the communication. That's what he missed. He said, I can't go back around that group. He said, they still drag that wagon around every night. I can't go back around that group because I'll fall off the wagon. But he said, I miss that. How many people in your neighborhood are just waiting on somebody to talk to them? In your apartment complex? I tell you, some of the rudest people I met was when we lived in an apartment. Some of the rudest. Nobody said hello to us. My kids say hi to everybody. Parker waves to everybody. People look the other way. Be the light in your apartment complex. Be the light in your duplex. Be the light in your homeowners association. That's what he's called you to be. Would you stand today? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, you've called us to be salt and light. You said if the salt has lost its savor, if it's lost its effectiveness, that it is of no value anymore. But I pray, Father, let us remain, let us stay in a place, Father, of being effective in the kingdom of God, wherever you've placed us. Whether it be in a neighborhood, apartment complex, on our job, let us maintain our effectiveness, affecting those around us, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I got to share one more thing with you. We've talked over time, we prayed for a long time concerning a couple of churches in the area that don't preach truth, that have mass following. Many people from those churches congregated at the coffee shops in the area in the mornings. Many of you have seen them. You've heard me talk about it. They're all there with a notepad and their Bible. Someday in the boldness of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to come along somebody and say, understandest thou what thou readest. But I haven't had it released to yet. But I said to my wife this morning as we were getting ready for church, I said, you know, you never see Pastor Roger at the coffee shop leading any of those groups. It's just a bunch of kids. And nobody's teaching. Usually they've got headphones in and they're in their own little world, but they've agreed to just get together and read the Bible. That's deep. I understand it probably takes 4 years of a Bible school education to get to that level. Deep, deep things of God. Listen to some praise and worship music and read my Bible. Do you think you have the ability to do that? Read your Bible and listen to some music? This isn't a trick question. Raise your hand. You think you could do that? You could read your Bible. You could invite a couple of people over to read your Bible. We're going to read some scriptures today. I'll give you a little hint, a little trick. There's this thing called the bread program. gives you scriptures to read. If you got questions about it, see Brother Tom's before you leave. You would even have to pick out scriptures to read with some friends. He'd pick them for you. Right. You don't have to teach a lesson. Just read some scriptures. What's that scripture mean to you? What's God saying to you through that scripture? Start a dialogue. The gym that I go to started a Bible study. They call it WOD with God. So I asked the other day, I said, who teaches WOD with God? Well, we don't have a teacher. We just read our Bibles. Okay. Can we do that? Can we get a group of people together and read our Bible? I'm talking about qualifications for involving yourself in personal evangelism. I'm not talking about starting a church, starting a life group. I'm talking about just personally involving yourself in the harvest. Being a light, being salt. That's it. It's as simple as that. Would you pray one more time and ask the Lord, starting today, to show you an opportunity to give you place to involve yourself in personal evangelism, to be a light, to be salt in the earth. Ask him right now, Father, show me. Is there something I can be doing? Is there somebody I can talk to? Is there somebody during break time at work that instead of huddling over in the corner by myself, flipping through Instagram, that I could ask him into the lunchroom to read the Bible together? Let him show you. Let him talk to you about that. In the name of Jesus, give me place. Give me opportunity, Father. I want to be the light in the darkness, Jesus. I want to be the light in the darkness today. In Jesus' name, my life is not my own. My house doesn't belong to me, Jesus. My car doesn't belong to me. My finances don't belong to me. They belong to you, and I want to use them to further your kingdom. I want to use them to further establish your kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name, if you so wish to, this altar's open. You can come and pray if you like. Pray in your seat. Let Jesus talk to you today. Let his spirit inspire you. Let his spirit stir something within you. I can be involved. Who's in school, you can start a P7 club before the year's out. You can get involved in reading Bible in your classroom in the cafeteria. I got a place, I got a role in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus.
keep praying. I will keep fasting until it comes. Send it to our city. I'll keep believing. I'll keep interceding.
Driving Brother Simpson to the airport last week, and we were talking about personal evangelism, and he said one of the things that some of his people do are a couple will take another couple from the church and go to McDonald's and set up a Bible study chart, teach each other the Bible study in McDonald's publicly. And of course, notoriously, people will migrate over and want to know what's going on. How many times have we said, you know, oh God, just send me a Bible study. Just send me somebody to give a Bible study. And you wait and wait and wait and wait. What a way to make contact in the public. I love listening to all of these testimonies and ideas. Praise God. You know, the greatest fulfillment that I've experienced is when you become engaged and reaching for somebody, and you know that the Lord has gotten involved in it. I don't know that there's a greater fulfillment. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the ministry of your word and spirit today.